Hello, everybody. This is Karen Kennaby with the Karen Kennaby Show on Untangled FM and Audio Boom. And I am delighted today to welcome as my guest Pamela Bruner, who I'm sure a lot of you will know. Pamela is a very well-known business success coach, author, speaker, and EFT, Emotional Freedom Techniques expert. After removing her own marketing fears to take her business from $375 a month to $1 million in less than 3 years, Pamela specializes in working with entrepreneurs to build 6- and 7-figure businesses by removing their challenges around marketing and sales. She is the co-author of Tapping into Ultimate Success book and DVD with Jack Canfield, creator of Chicken Soup for the Soul. So Pamela, welcome. Thank you very much for joining me and for joining us today.
Oh, thank you, Karen. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good. And one thing, just from a personal standpoint, that I just want to sort of mention and refer to is the fact that every time I see anything about Pamela, about you, you're always smiling. You have a really lovely, lovely energy. And I think that's so delightful that when you go on social media, when you see any of your pictures, see any of your videos, you are always smiling and you have this beautiful energy that just shines from you. So not a question. I really just wanted to refer to that because I think it's something very special about you. So thank you.
Thank you. I actually am having a really good time running my business, and that's part of the reason I'm excited to talk to you today is I want to share what's helping me do that with other people so they can do it as well and have more fun in their life.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So most people know of you because of EFT. I think for a lot of people, you've been a gateway to finding out a little bit about EFT, but I'm sure an awful lot of people may have heard of it and may know that that's tapping, but they don't really know how or why it works and what they can use it for. So could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. Tapping, otherwise known as EFT or Emotional Freedom Techniques, is a simple self-administered acupressure technique that has been scientifically proven to calm the amygdala, which is a fear center of the brain, and it lowers the cortisol or the stress hormone levels in the bloodstream. Now, just a few years back, we didn't really have the science behind it, and so a lot of people were saying things like, you know, it works on the same principles as acupuncture, you're tapping the energy meridians, and I am not trained in acupuncture, so I'm not really qualified to speak on that. That was my understanding, and I just knew that it worked. But a few years ago, they did some studies about how it affects the brain, how it affects stress levels in the bloodstream, and now we've got hard science that said, yes, tapping actually does sort of calm you down and bliss you out so that you can entertain new empowering ideas. Because we all, or most of us, have heard of empowering ideas. We certainly can get them in self-help books and in motivational courses and things like that, but we can't always emotionally embrace these ideas, and that's what I think tapping is so very good for.
Mm. So the idea that it relaxes you down or takes you into a different state means that you're open in a similar way to when you're in meditation, for example. Would that be a fair assessment?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know that I'd equate it exactly to meditation, but I will put it this way. I know that when I am in the grip of a strong emotion, if I am irritated or upset, I don't know about you, Karen, but if I am really annoyed at someone, I am likely to not make good judgments. I'm likely to say something that I wouldn't say in calmer moments. I'm more inclined to throw things. I don't usually, but I'm tempted to do things that I wouldn't do if I were calmer. And if you think about it, when you get calm, often then you say, oh, I'm sorry I got so upset, or I'm sorry I said what I said. I wasn't in the best frame of mind, or I wasn't exercising good judgment. And so when you think about something like that, and that's just an easy example for people to get, think about how often you may be in upset, but upset around fear, around your business. Like, I'm afraid to put myself out there. I'm afraid to offer my services to someone. What will they think? I'm afraid to raise my rates. They'll think I'm greedy. And so there's all this fear operating. that we don't always think of as fear. Sometimes we think of it as stress, or sometimes we even think of it as modesty, or just this is just the way I am. But these fears are causing us to make decisions and to take actions that if we had a different perspective, we wouldn't do.
Absolutely. And there is this very big statement in your bio about going from $375 a month to $1 million in less than 3 years, which from most people's standpoint is a pretty dramatic growth. So do you attribute all of that to the tapping? And how did you get started?
It's a great question. I don't attribute it all to tapping. But because I did get some good strategy at that point, it's just that the tapping allowed me to be open to the strategy. It's sort of what we were talking about. When I trained as a coach more than 10 years ago, and tapping was actually introduced in my coach training. So, and I thought it was crazy. I remember going, I think it's working, but I'm not sure, and this seems odd. And I sort of set it aside. And then after a few months, one of my first coaching clients said, oh, I love tapping. I use it all the time. And I went back and investigated it further and really put more than, you know, an hour of playing in with it. And I found that it was incredibly effective and helped me do a lot of what I wanted to do. And still, I wasn't using tapping for my business fears. I was using it for my personal life. It was great for that. And because I had beliefs that were not serving me and I had no incentive to change them. Like, marketing is just sleazy. You're going to hate marketing. There's nothing you can do about that. And I thought, I'm a coach. I'm not going to do something I hate in order to help other people do something they love. And over the course of a few years, I started to understand that I really did need to get marketing and sales down. And so I decided to sort of plunge in and learn marketing and sales, and I felt like I was going to be plunging into a sewer. You know, it was like, okay, let me hold my nose and dive in. And what I found when I got in there and started using my tapping techniques is, wow, it doesn't have to be so scary. It certainly doesn't have to be inauthentic or out of integrity. You can market and sell from a place of total alignment, good energy, and absolute authenticity, as long as you have the right strategies to do it and the right mindset, the right ideas, which I was lacking at first. And then you also have the emotional alignment, which I call empowerment, and that comes through tapping. So it's a combination of three very important key elements. And if you don't get all three, if you only have two, you may not be able to move forward.
So with the EFT, with the tapping, is the key area that you would use it for and that it's most helpful for then in changing beliefs, obviously being open as you expressed, so that you're open to new empowering ideas, is it very much about getting this core values, core beliefs, getting those changed quickly? Because I know you can get very, very quick results with EFT, can't you?
You can get very quick results. And I have found, I do a great deal of personal growth work on myself. I'm not done by any means. I'm still doing it. I do at least an hour of tapping and meditation in combination every single day to allow myself to become a better human being and increase my impact in the world. And what I have found is that truly changing deep core issues does take a little bit of time, but changing your ability to take action, which can then result in the transformation of the core issues, that can be really, really fast. Like if you're saying, I'm uncomfortable with the idea of picking up the phone and calling some people and seeing if they want to do business with me, that's a fairly small action. Now, it may have a core issue underneath it that says I'm not good enough or people don't like me or I'm going to be bothering them. And all we need to do is change that belief underneath enough for you to get to pick up the phone, make some calls, and have some good experiences. And then it's much easier to take the new action. So I don't think we need to go in and say, oh, I'm going to change who I am instantly at the core level in order to move forward. We can piecemeal it and stair-step it up. At least that's been my experience. What I tell people is the good news is I am living proof that you can make it to $1 million a year with most of your neuroses intact. And then you can continue you continue to work on yourself so that you have more and more fun in your business and have more and more impact and make more and more money. Hope that makes sense.
Certainly makes sense. And, I mean, we're all work in progress, aren't we? I mean, if you stop working on yourself, if you stop growing, then you might as well die. So, yeah, we're all very much work in progress. So that totally makes sense. So your business, and I know that you were entrepreneurial or had entrepreneurial ideas from a very young age. And I know there's reference to when you were 15 coming up with a very clever idea for single mothers to look after each other's children so they could get back to work and so on and so forth. So you obviously had this entrepreneurial mind going back a long way. But your business and your website are Make Your Success Real. So in terms of top tips for women who most would want to make their success real, whether it's success in a business world or whether it's career or whether it's personal relationships, what would your tips be for achieving that? I know that's rather big, isn't it? But
It is, but don't worry, I've got lots of tips. I love the question. The first thing I would say is don't settle. And here's what I mean by don't settle. There is a lot of training and there is a lot of information in the world that says things like, if you're going to succeed, you have to go for it, bust a gut, sweat and bleed, and it's just going to be incredibly hard work and difficult to get to the top. And, yes, it's going to be painful. And you have to do it anyway if you want to succeed. And I think that we're entering a new paradigm. Not that it's not work. I mean, I'm a hiker, and when I climb a mountain, I'll tell you, it's work to get to the top of the mountain. But I'm not saying every step of the way, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, oh, I'm at the top of the mountain, I'm glad I did it. I'm saying, wow, it's a lot of work to get to the top of the mountain, but I'm really enjoying the climb. And that's a very different perspective. So if you are under the influence of somebody who's saying, well, you know what, you're just going to hate it, but you got to do that to get to the top, I don't think you build a business that you love by doing things you hate. And so what I would encourage you to do is find some information that says, you know what, you are going to have to work. You're absolutely going to have to put in effort. Let's find a way to make that effort more joyful and have you become a better and more fulfilled human being in learning how to make that effort joyful. And then you're building a business that not only is successful for you, but that makes a difference in the world and that you love to run. And what I find is that people either go for their success and end up hating the business that they built. And I have talked to more multiple six- and seven-figure business owners that say, well, you know, I made it to where I wanted to be, and then I was like, wow, I hate my business, or I'm really uncomfortable, or this isn't what I plan to build, or something like that. And that's unfortunate. But the flip side of that is a lot of people who start building, and they may get to $70,000, $80,000, $100,000, and they're like, you know, this isn't fun. I'm just going to stop here because I can sort of maintain here. I don't have to grow. And not only do they hold themselves back from achieving the wealth that they could, but they actually aren't serving in the world in the big way that they want to. And I'm here with a different message that says it is possible actually to have both, but it takes a very specific set of skills and a very specific style of working.
And you're clearly testimony to that. So, yes, right. And what would your second tip be?
I'm going to get strategic after the last one. Like the last one, don't settle, is, okay, so I'm not going to settle, but that doesn't really tell you what to do. So the second tip is, here's how not to settle. Ask yourself in any given situation, which one of the three C's I need. So you either need clarity, you need confidence, or you need community. And so clarity, I think, is the strategic part. It's like, okay, do I know how to get the word out? Is my marketing message clear? It's very much the left brain stuff. It's very much the stuff that you can get in training. Do I need clarity? And most people starting a business who are doing what they love actually need clarity in business. You may have 10 different certifications behind your name, but if you haven't gotten any business training, and not just like an MBA, but small business training, you need the strategic part. So do you need clarity? Do you need confidence? That's the part where, you know, do I have the right ideas, the right thoughts, the mindset, and am I in alignment with those thoughts? Do I have empowerment? And getting that confidence, that's what I think tapping is so, so very good for. And then, do I need community? And community is, do I have an environment that supports me in growth, that supports me in getting a strategy, that supports me in maintaining my mindset? Because I've seen a lot of entrepreneurs who are partnered with someone who's an employee, which isn't bad at all. It's fine to have someone who has a job and another one who builds a business, but often people who are in the employee world don't really know how to support entrepreneurs, and they do it the best way they can as spouses, but they may not just know the entrepreneurial world to do that support. So where is the community that you're building around yourself? So when you run up against a problem and say, wow, I'm not moving forward in this area, do I need clarity, do I need confidence, or do I need community?
Very interesting. I've never heard it put quite like that. So, yes, that makes total sense. Right, thank you. And what would your third be?
My third would be, and it's a tough one for me anyway. I'll take ownership of that. I'm not going to say it's tough for anybody else, but it's certainly tough for me. I was a former computer programmer. I spent 10 years as a computer programmer, and then I quit to become a Celtic harpist for a number of years. So I've worked in sort of both sides of my brain. And if you are strategic, as I tend to be, learning to live in your intuitive side and feel into your intuitive side can be a real challenge. And I know there are a lot of people who are very used to working in their intuition. They're used to saying, how does this feel to me? One of the challenges with working in your intuitive side is if you have not cleared out your fear, it can be very challenging to know whether, hey, you know, I'm just not guided to move in this direction. Or, you know what, I would be guided to move in this direction if I didn't have this big whopping fear in front of me. So you need to be strategic, but you also need to access your intuitive side, and you need to be able to distinguish between your intuition and your fear. So as you start investigating things, one of the ways, just a quick tip on how to know, is this my intuition saying no, or is this my fear saying no, is when you think of going into something, does it make you feel expanded or contracted? Because often when you're looking at a new opportunity, like, oh, it'd be a great opportunity on Karen's show and share my giftedness to the world. And does that make me feel like, oh, that would be really exciting? Oh, no, I couldn't do that. I couldn't be visible. So if there is a contraction, it's usually a fear. If there's this feeling of a little bit of excitement or expansion, but then you shut it down, that's often a fear. So just notice what is pulling me in one direction or another.
I think that's so valuable because it's a very easy cop out to be end up stuck as less than, isn't it? To say that, oh no, I'm not supposed to do that. And interestingly, this, I've not used the words contraction and expansion, not thought about it in that respect, but if I'm confused over something, whether I should or shouldn't do it, and whether it, you know, what is stopping me from doing it, whether it is the right thing to do, very often I will stand and look in the mirror and I'll see which one lights me up or makes me smile.
Beautiful.
We always get the answer from inside, don't we? But sometimes it's just we logic it out if we're... if the fear is still there. So, yeah, I like that.
Absolutely. And the flip side of the fear is the should, because I got an inquiry from someone say, would you like to hop on the phone and discuss partnering with me? And I'm a zero inbox person, which means that by the end of the day, my email inbox should have no emails in it. They should all be filed, taken care of, dealt with, something. And
wow.
that email sat in my email inbox for 3 days, and I was like, I got to look at this and make a decision. And after 3 days, I thought, if you haven't made a decision by this point, the should is pushing you to say yes, but everything else in you is saying no. It's the only reason it's still in your inbox. And so then I made the decision and said, you know, I really appreciate the inquiry, but this is not something I'm going to pursue at this time, because I noticed myself in an agony of indecision because my intuition was going one way and I had a should, and I guess a should has a fear behind it, because it's like, oh, if I don't do this, I won't be the person I'm supposed to be, or I should be open to all inquiries or something. Like, there's some kind of fear behind it, but sometimes it looks like a should.
And yes, I'm very often a should has some lack mentality stuff going on behind it, doesn't it? You know, if I should do this because otherwise I might not get another opportunity like this, or I should do this because I might not be asked again, or whatever. But yeah, that nature of fear, it's very intriguing. Dreadful word, should. So, right, very interesting. And I must admit, a little wow crept out when you said about the zero emails, because that's certainly not how I managed to achieve things, sadly. I'm in awe about that.
Would you like a quick tip on how to do that?
Oh, yes. And I'm sure loads of our listeners would. Yes, please.
Okay. So we've been talking largely about intuitive tips. This is entirely a strategic tip. What I would suggest you do is you can create folders, usually. I'm on Mac, so I have Mac mail, but whether you're on Outlook or Gmail or whatever, you can create subfolders. I would create a folder called Archive and move everything out of your inbox to Archive, because if you have 1,368 emails, there's no way you can go through all of them and file them. It's just not going to happen. So what I'd say is put everything in Archive. You probably will never need to look at it. The part of your mind that is fearful will go, okay, if I ever need to retrieve it, it's there, but I'm probably never going to go into my Archive folder. And now you're starting from zero. Now what you can do is every day when things come in, you open them once, you take a look, and you either file them in the appropriate folder, or you take the activity off of that email and put it on a to-do list, because your email inbox is not a to-do list. It's an inbox for processing things, but it's not where you store your tasks to do. And that way, once you start with zero, it's much easier to maintain.
Thank you very much. That's a great idea. I shall definitely do that today.
Good.
So thank you very much. Now, Pamela, if people would like to follow up on this and find out more about how you work, get in touch with you, experience any of the amazing things that you do, what's the best way for them to do that? Your website is MakeYourSuccessReal.com. And you mentioned to me just before we came on air that there's a gift that people can get access to. Could you just mention that?
Absolutely. I have a very short four-part video series called Tapping to Double Your Income. And this will walk you through the EFT tapping routine to start opening you up to some of the ideas of making more money in your business. And the URL for that is doubleyourincomeseries.com, doubleyourincomeseries.com. So if you go there, you can just put your name and email address in, and we'll send you the links to the videos. And you can watch and tap along, and I hope that you increase your wealth consciousness and your ability to make more money.
Brilliant. And I'll put that URL under the link to the show, so it'll be nice and easy for everybody to find. And is there anything else in terms of where people should go or what people should look out for, or just go and have a browse around your site?
They should absolutely have a browser on my site. I'm also launching an empowerment program very shortly that will really focus on the alignment. Usually I do both strategy and mindset during a course, and in this course I am focusing on this whole idea of being aligned as you take business actions to skyrocket your business. So if you get that Tapping to Double Your Income series, or if you just poke around on my site and register for anything, I'll make sure you get information about that.
Super. Well, that sounds great. Pamela, thank you so much for joining me today. I think we've got such a huge amount from it, and in terms of how things can move forward more effortlessly, and some guidelines and some different ways of looking at things as well, some of the bigger challenges. So thank you very much indeed. And thank you, everybody, for joining myself and Pamela Bruner. And just to remind you, that website is Make Your Success Real, but I will put it at the bottom of the link from the show. So thank you, Pamela Bruner. Thank you, everybody, for joining me. And I look forward to joining you again at another show very soon.